movies and musicals with Aideen Gormley.
Heads up.
I'm calling Malala.
Whatever you need me to do, I'm available.
Coming, my sweet.
We're going on a road trip.
Cost to quit is my religion.
I like this one.
Well, that's because I'm rich.
It gets bigger.
Whatever you do, do it 100%.
Smile and put on a happy face.
We've passed on all we know.
She could be an Avenger if she tried.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, dear.
The movie news.
Look at me.
With Garrett Davey.
So, Garrett, we got through the Oscars in one piece, huh?
Are we clear of the award season? Is that it?
Are we?
Is that it? Are we done? It'll all start again.
I know.
Very soon. It feels earlier and earlier
yes,
every year.
Yes, it does. But we're predicting already for next year.
I know, yeah.
Well, the only surprise was Parasite. Everybody thrilled about it.
And that was great.
It was super.
It was great to see. Because everything else was quite predictable.
Yes.
But the show itself was a little bit dull. And I think audiences felt that as well. Because it was the smallest audience to ever watch the Oscars. It was down
to
23.6 million. So I think it was a huge 6 million drop off from last year. It's not good. I don't know what you put it down to. Is it not having a host? Is it, just...
Too long.
Awards fatigue at that stage? It's hard to know because it used to be a lot of razzmatazz associated with it.
Sort of Hugh Jackman doing song and dance or something like that.
And then they try. In fairness, they did try, but it does lag. It feels... Feels like it's not fully connected when you don't have a host, which is a strange one.
Yeah,
but I think it was great.
For next year.
Great to see Parasite winning.
Yes.
And everybody in the room really liked that
as did.
Well. And you could see that moment when they tried to cut it short at the end and the whole crowd asked them to put the lights back on so they could keep celebrating.
Yeah.
So that was
great,
that was a Hollywood moment.
It was a Hollywood moment. What's the latest on the Parasite TV series?
Yeah, so the rumors have already sort of started about it that Mark Ruffalo is actually been considered for a lead role in it. They were talking about it, the fact that it's not going to be a remake, that they're going to sort of do a continuation of the film, so obviously some variation of it. Obviously, Adam McKay is involved with it as well. He's the executive producer of the project. But I suppose interesting in a sense what a Best Picture win can do for you.
Yes.
The Blu-ray edition of the film went straight to number one on Amazon.
Wow.
And it went straight to number one on the iTunes chart. And it's been extended in cinemas, and it's going to open wide now for people to be able to see it. So that's great. I think for all the films, and I heard one commentator talking about 1917, the fact that it didn't win, the fact that it was in the run-up and the nominations and everything did wonders for it, and people talking about it and actually going to see it.
Yes, exactly.
Oscars has a box office boost.
And two great films. I enjoyed both very much. Now, tell me about Porgy and Bess and a new film adaptation.
A new film adaptation that's going to be directed by Dee Rees. And basically, I think there was a bit of wrangling going on to try and get the rights from the Gershwin estate.
Right.
But Irwin and Charles Winkler have managed to do it. They've secured the rights, and it started out, of course, first as a 1925 novel. It then went to a play, and of course it was in 1935 that the composer George Gershwin and lyricist Ira Gershwin wrote, and then the libretto as well from the original author Hayward. So it first appeared actually on film in 1959. That was the Sidney Poitier film.
Do you know, I haven't seen that version.
No, me neither.
So
it's a long time since it's been on the big screen. Now, this director had great success with Mudbound. Remember that film? It was quite a strong awards contender as well. But Rees actually directed a film that was premiered at the Sundance Film Festival recently called The Last Thing He Wanted. It got really bad reviews at the festival. It's actually going to be on Netflix later in February. So, you know, but that's the movie business, isn't it?
Well,
one
it
minute
is.
You're up, the next you're
that's
down.
That's true.
And
well,
hopefully
we'll
this
see
will
how Porgy and Bess is. It's certainly a stunning production in the Met of late, which was shown in cinemas. And, I mean, it's a superb story. If they do it well, it could be stunning. So we'll keep an eye on Porgy and Bess. A game to screen?
Yeah, this is Clue. This is the Hasbro game Clue. James Bobbin, who did The Muppets and Dora the Lost City of Gold, is in talks to direct a new live-action adaptation of Clue. Ryan Reynolds remains attached to produce the film and potentially star in the movie, which previously had Jason Bateman in talks to both direct and take on a supporting role, but that's no longer the case. They've got the right writers of Deadpool involved as well. And there was a 1985 period comedy that sort of had a similar storyline to it. But obviously this one is going ahead. And we've seen that. We've seen the sort of the game to film adaptation happening pretty well. Yeah. Jumanji, of course,
exactly,
does so well. Mm. And yeah, good director as well for the project.
All right. Now, news of a sequel for us.
Yeah, this is a 1991 film, The Rocketeer.
Way back.
And of course, in a time when the sort of superhero movie didn't quite have the same success rate as it does these days, J.D. Dillard is volunteering to direct this one, and Disney are moving forward with it. They have the rights to it, and the plan here is, I think that's going to go to the Disney Plus service, but the new one is said to be a direct sequel of that 1991 film, not that anyone will remember. It's not a reimagining, and it shifts the story forward a few decades as young African-American female pilot tries to stop an evil Russian female rocket scientist from stealing the jetpack technology during a pivotal moment in the Cold War. So we think that will be the synopsis for the movie, but of course more will come out in due course when they actually move forward with production.
All right, what about Turner and Hooch?
Turner and Hooch has been remade. So this was 1989. Turner and Hooch came out on the big screen. Tom Hanks, of course, starred in the movie. It made about $70 million at the box office, which was quite good because the budget was only about $13 at the time. So Josh Peck has been hired to star in what is an hour-long series remake. They're going to do many episodes. I think 12 episodes have been ordered of the series.
Okay.
He will play Scott Turner. He's a sort of ambitious, sort of buttoned-up U.S. Marshal who inherits a big unruly dog, and he soon realizes that this dog that he didn't want is going to be the partner that he's always needed. It was a fun movie.
Yeah,
it was very 80s, actually.
It was very 80s.
You can see why they're possibly remaking it, because they've got the service. And
all
they
right,
want to, put it on.
To Spain now for director Pedro Almodovar, a director I really like, and I loved his last film, Pain and Glory. We saw Antonio Banderas nominated in the Best Actor category. He was stunning in it. What is Pedro up to next?
He's got two English language projects going forward.
Oh, that's interesting.
Kind of confirmed this over the weekend, obviously, as interviews were taking place around the awards season. So he's doing a feature adaptation of Lucia Berlin's five-story anthology book, A Manual for Cleaning Women. He will shoot a short 15-minute film adaptation also of a one-act play, The Human Voice, and he's enlisted the help of Tilda Swinton to join him on that.
I'm Roger, here already. Tilda Swinton and Pedro together.
I know. That'll shoot in April, actually. And it follows a Parisian woman's final phone call with her lover of 5 years who will marry another woman the following day.
Ooh.
Sounds like a nice premise for it. So, yeah, it's nice connections, isn't
it? I like the sound of that.
Two projects moving forward.
Always an interesting director. No sign of Sylvester Stallone heading into retirement anytime
soon.
I know.
Every time I kind of read to see he's about to star in this action thriller,
I know.
You just think, wow, he's still going. And he's joining forces with Michael Bay on this one, who's going to be a producer on it. Little America, it's called. It's a kind of escape from New York-esque type story set in this dystopian future where America has become bankrupt, turned into a war zone. He plays a former army ranger hired by an assassin billionaire to find his daughter. Filming of that one is due to get underway during the summer once he wraps work on another superhero thriller called Samaritan.
Good man, Sly Stallone. Now, a little bit of home news in a way, because we have the follow-up to Cecilia Hearn's 2004 debut novel, P.S. I Love You, hitting the big screen.
Yeah, so the rights to this have been secured by the company that actually produced the film for that.
Okay.
So Postscript is the name of the new book, which actually just hit bookshelves in the US this week.
Okay.
It was released here back in September, but it picks up the story, Holly's story, 7 years after her husband's death. She's sort of moved on with her life. She's doing a podcast, and then she starts getting messages from lots of people who are terminally ill, and this sort of draws her back into the world, which she's tried to leave behind, but leads her on another incredible life-affirming journey. It's amazing to see, you know, the P.S. I Love You was a big film, and I think this will be too, when you consider the success they had with that.
So basically the rights have been secured, so it'll be a while before we see it,
but they're moving forward with it, and they're a notable production company, Alcon Entertainment. They did The Blind Side as well.
They've
got a lot of great track record.
Now, good news for a season three.
Yeah, this is Sex Education on Netflix, if anybody's been watching it.
You've been enjoying it, haven't you?
It's really fun. I do like it. It's got a great cast. Asa Butterfield's on it. Gillian Anderson, terrific in it.
Super.
And it's really good. It centres on a 16-year-old Otis Milburn, who's inexperienced, socially awkward. He's a high school student who lives with his sex therapist mum, played by Gillian Anderson. It's just really good. The writing's really clever in it. I think audiences are really enjoying it. And Netflix announced on Twitter this week that they're going to make a season 3.
Okay.
Season 2 only came out only a couple of weeks ago.
They're feeling confident.
I obviously say the numbers are doing well for them.
They are indeed. What trailer should we check out online, Gareth?
It's just purely fun. And you will laugh. And I've always laughed when I've seen the Minions on screen. They may not be everybody's cup of tea.
I always laugh as well. I like the Minions.
And I just think they're hilarious. And the movies are such good fun.
So this brings it back to Gru as a young boy, right?
It's like an origin story.
Yes, origin story, yes.
And he's a sort of fanboy of supervillain. And there's a super group known as the Vicious Six. And he sort of hatches a plan to become evil enough to join them. What a great premise. And of course, he has the Minions to help him as well. It's called The Rise of Gru. And it's going to be out in the summertime. But yeah, check out the trailer for it.
Perfect.
Looks fun.
Let's check out new releases in cinemas this weekend. First up, Emma.
Papa, Mr. Weston is such a good-humoured, pleasant, excellent man. He thoroughly deserves a good wife. And you would not have had Miss Taylor live with us forever when she might have had a house of her own.
A house of her own? Where is the advantage of a house of her own? This is 3 times as low. It's entirely unnecessary. Poor Miss Taylor. Poor Isabella.
My sister married 7 years ago, Papa. You must be reconciled to it by now.
That was a terrible day. It
shall always be a matter of great joy to me that I made the match myself. Everyone said Mr. Weston would never marry again. But I did not believe it.
Emma, you should not make matches or foretell things. Whatever you say, always comes to pass. You must not make any more.
I promise to make none for myself, Papa. But I must indeed for other people. It is the greatest amusement in the world.
That's Anya Taylor-Joy and Bill Nighy in that clip there from Emma, which I've not seen, but you have.
Yeah, I did see it during the week. You know what? It's enjoyable. It looks gorgeous. The acting is really good. I just didn't feel it added anything more to any previous screen adaptations of Emma. But it's perfectly enjoyable if you want to head to the cinema and see it. You know, it's engaging. Yeah. It's enjoyable. But didn't hugely add anything. But it's such a great story. And there's a lot of Jane Austen wit. And that is for sure. We've 2 more to mention.
Yeah, Sonic the Hedgehog. This has been a little bit of time getting to the screen, but obviously the famous computer game. Jim Carrey starring in this one, James Marsden as well. But it's about a cop in a rural town of Green Hills with help of Sonic escapes from the government who's looking to capture him. And then finally, we have a documentary feature as well, Jihad Jane. This is in March 2010. 2 American women, including one who named herself Jihad Jane, were arrested in a number of high-profile arrests in Waterford. And this then sort of led into a whole story of the new face of terrorism, essentially.
Indeed, okay. So, and what TV movie are you recommending?
It's straight out of Compton. This is the biopic of the group NWA. If you like the band, or if you're curious about that world, sort of see them rise to fame in the 1980s, see, I suppose, where they drew their inspiration and where, the danger that they got into as well, the type of lives that they live. It's worth watching. It's on tonight, actually, on RT2 at 9:15, Cold Street Out of Compton.
Great stuff. Thanks, Gareth.
Thank you.